We are good. Good morning.
Hi. I don't mind this view. It's nice to be able to see all of your faces. Pretty good vantage point.
Yeah, it's a little different format this morning. We are, we just want to do life together. So we are actually, right now, we're just continuing a conversation that Rebecca and I have been having for a few days now, since we've been asked to speak on hope, because as you all know, we have shared with you that we've been trying to have children for almost a decade now, and it seems like we can be a little hopeless at times when we get to the end of every month and continue our journey on trying to have children. I mean, the journey's great. But amen. But ultimately, we do want to have children because we believe in the hope that God has given us that we are going to have children. We are going to hold our children, whether that be multiples, whether that be a boy, a girl. I think at this point, it really doesn't matter for us. We just want to hold a baby that we can call our own. And that promise, we are hoping in that promise, and we are continuing to prepare ourselves. And so as we talk about hope, and as we kind of elaborate on our journey and what hope is to us, it's taught us to prepare and to really just it's allowing us to walk through towards the promise that God has given us. And I hope by the end of this that we can really do well in conveying our idea and our experience. To you
so,
all.
Yeah. So we're gonna I felt as we were talking about sharing together, we wanted this to be a back and forth. So we may interrupt one another. We may ask one another to clarify what. Go a little deeper on that. What do you mean by that? So
it's a conversation. It's really just like you are watching a conversation just kind of happening.
If I don't catch something or Stephen doesn't catch something, and I see some like quizzical faces in the audience, we're mostly going to be talking, but if there's burning questions that come up, this is not just us talking. We want to be in community and intimacy with one another, right? That is New Covenant's vision statement, is that as a people of the presence, we are committed to intimacy with God and intimacy with one another. And that is one of the things that was coming up as we were preparing for this message. So we're going to talk about hope this morning. We're going to talk about some hopelessness and what you do in that hopelessness. But then we're also going to talk about hope for New Covenant. And we're going to talk about our ultimate hope as Christians, as believers. So just a few things that we have been discussing over the last few days. We've literally been like in a conversation for 3 days straight now, all about hope, which has been awesome. So I'm going to pray. Sound good? Yeah? Oh?
Prayer? What?
Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that we can put our hope in you, that you are our hope. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the word that you have stirred up in both Stephen and I, and for the conversation we've been having. And Lord God, I just ask that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, and that we only speak what you're speaking to your church this morning. So we thank you, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Go for it.
All right, to start off with, have you ever heard the phrase, don't get your hopes up? Come on, we've been told that our entire lives. Like, and it's interesting how twisted that is, because it's really not what the Bible teaches. It's really not what is taught to us as believers. And And I say believers because really, in reality, there's only one denomination, and that's believers. The other, and then there's everybody else. You can call yourself a Christian, but are you a believer? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what God has said? Do you believe what Jesus has taught? Do you believe? So there's a difference between being a believer and an unbeliever. And that's what the Bible teaches us. It doesn't call us Christians. It calls us believers. And there's such an... I'm already like going on this rabbit trail, but like this is how the conversation started. It's like I start on one point and then I just go down. So I'm just going to go down if you don't mind. We'll get back to
it. Well, can I go into the whole believer thing a little bit? Because so when I think about being a believer... John 3:16 is that it is like the core of who we are as Christians is belief. Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. So hope and faith and trust and belief, they are all connected. And I was doing some studying in the book of Daniel recently, really just reading, not fully studying. But in the book of Daniel, after Daniel is at the very end, when Daniel was pulled out of the lion's den, it's in Daniel 6. And the very last sentence, it's talking about how he was pulled out of the lion's den with no harm had come to him because he believed in his God. That was the key that saved his life, was belief. And we talk about hope and of hopelessness. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's unbelief. Like, we don't have anywhere to believe in and hope in. So rabbit trail, go ahead if you want.
When we hope in something, it's like there's a difference between believing and knowing. Like we know, like in the instance with Daniel, he knew. Back that up. He believed his God would save him. He did not know that he would. If he knew that he would, of course there probably wasn't anything to worry about because he knew. But when you know something, you've already experienced it. Like here's when we know something, like I've heard it time and time again that we know that the Lord is returning. We know that Jesus is going to return. And my question always is, how do you know? How do you know? Because we haven't seen it. We haven't experienced it. We haven't known it to its fullest potential. We believe because we believe the Word of God. We believe that Jesus said that he will return. There's a difference between knowing and believing. And believing is so much more powerful when it comes to hope. Because I feel like when you know something, you can relax and you don't have to hope in it. And you don't have to hope in the coming of the Lord because you've already known it's happened and everything. On the other side of eternity, when Jesus has already come, we know that those things are happening or have happened, so we can rest in the peace. Therefore, we don't have to hope. Do you understand? I think that's pretty clear, right? Is that a good explanation? Should I delve deeper? No, that's good. Okay.
So believing, we believe because we know that the word is true, and. That scripture of the man that prays, that he tells Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's a constant prayer in all of our lives, isn't it? Like, I believe, God, I believe in your promise, and I believe that you have said to me that I will be a mother. I believe that. I don't know that because I haven't experienced it, but I believe it. in the core of my being because I trust who God is. He is my Father, and he has good and perfect gifts, and he has a plan and a purpose for my life. And I know what he said because I know his voice. What is that promise in your life? Is there something that God has told you? Is there something that God's told you that you need to re-up your belief in? What is it? Because without remembering that, you will perish. Because without vision, the people perish. And if we don't have something to hope in, which is vision, we will perish. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. So what is that vision? Make it clear. Imagine every part of what that will look like. I've heard a phrase of live from the future, act in the now. And I've wrestled with it a lot personally because I don't want, like, I want to live in the reality. But I also know that God gives us vision and he gives us hope and he is a God of the future and he has plans. So Lord, what are those plans? What are the desires of my heart that you've put in there? And show me every part of that so that I can have a vision for that, hope in that, and put action towards that. Because hope is not inactive. It is a commitment. It is an action. It is a decision to hope. When we were talking about this, and Stephen mentioned it in our journey, I have to decide to hope again every single month. What are you doing? I'm having a moment right now.
Yeah, sorry. Sound guy, I'm hearing reverb, so I gotta mute some channels. So.
Hope is a choice. It's a choice. That's the point. And we have to continually re-up our hope. And that is by having a vision of what we are hoping in. Whether that is something here on earth, a promise that God has given us, or whether that is a hope for the future of a wedding day with Jesus, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I think you should share the analogy of the beach house.
Oh, yeah. I was on a training last week, and she was talking about this whole thing of living from the future, acting in the now, and specifically about goal setting and vision boards and, you know, all just personal, really personal growth. And what she said was on her vision board, she has that she wants like a beach house in Hawaii, you know, something that wasn't exactly it, but if that's a dream, if that's something that you want and you have a picture of that on your vision board, that's great. But that may be 10, 15 years down the line based on where you are right now. It's not an immediate vision or dream that will be fulfilled in a short-term manner, right? So what do you do in the process? You have to have smaller, incremental visions and goals to get you to that ultimate vision, because otherwise you'll get discouraged. If you're only looking to the biggest thing that's way out of the range of possibility right now, you'll lose hope because life's going to get in the way and you won't keep that vision. It's hard to keep a big vision. So keeping the smaller visions that lead you to the big vision, that those smaller goals, that you need wins, right? Don't we need wins in our life? Like, we need, okay, Lord, I need to see you today. Right now. I need that. I want to see you move this week in my life. And again, and again, and again, and as we build that communion with him, he continues to build our hope and build that relationship and that intimacy with him because we're seeing him move.
It's the same with a toddler learning to walk. The goal is to walk. But what does that toddler go and do before he walks? He trips, he stumbles. Some of them run before they walk. Like that guy over there. Hey, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I'm talking about you.
He forgot how to walk, right?
He never learned. He just ran.
And it's the same for, I believe, for New Covenant. For one thing, we are learning how to walk again. We're learning how to become intimate with one another. We're learning how to become intimate with the Lord. We're continuing to learn. It's these things that we've done, these ministries that we've reached out, we've done. Some of us may look at them as failures, as something that like God wasn't in, that they were good ideas or God ideas. You know, there's a difference. But I mean, the thing that comes to my mind is God is good, right? And these good ideas, was God not in them, or was he in them? Is he teaching us? Is he teaching us as we're stumbling, as we're reaching through the dark, as we're trying to walk, as we're trying to become who we are when we walk? I don't see any of these failures, these ministry opportunities, these things, these ideas that we've been spreading out. I don't see them as failures. I see them as we're learning how to walk. Mm-hmm. We're learning how to do things together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really encouraging for, especially for a community of believers who have been crushed by grief, by loss, by death and these things. And it's just, I think there's so much value when we walk through suffering, especially as a community. Mm-hmm. And to see it, so my hope is placed in that we will learn how to walk. We will walk in the fullness of our destiny. I'll use that word. Our calling, as the Lord has called us to, as a ministry. Mm-hmm. That's my hope. So, how am I, for one, my place is, you know, at the soundboard doing the broadcast and all that. How am I playing my part in getting us to that point of our fullness? Mm-hmm. We are walking. We're taking the small steps. We're learning what to do, what not to do, to where to place our ideas, our really it's learning how to hear the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I really think that this place is really going to be a place full of hope. That's going to be, it's going to be a place, just a base, I guess, I don't know what to call it, but a place of hope where people with hopelessness can come. And it's not, I guess I'm kind of done with that thought. Let me pass the mic over for a second as I mull this.
Well, the scriptures that came to my mind of talking about like learning how to walk and learning through our failures is Romans 8:28, which says he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things, Amos. Yeah. But all things. So, and the scriptures also say multiple times that he never leaves us or forsakes us. So if we're stepping out into something that's a good idea or that we're really excited about and it completely flops and fails, he's still good. and he's still going to work that out for my good because he loves me and I'm called according to his purpose. And the other thing is James. James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's James 1, 2 through 4. We have to count it joy at the beginning of the trial. Not when it's over. But it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you fall, that's kind of like, it's happening, it's immediate. It's like you've tripped, you've fallen. And when you fall, joy. I know, there's another whole nother Sunday I'm on joy. But like, it's all together, right? It's hope, joy, peace, love. But there's this video, and I wish I would have thought about this before, but I've seen this a couple of times, is this reel, and it's this little kid, and he's about, I don't know, yay big, a little bit bigger than you. And he's riding a bike, and he falls, like total tumble off of the bike, right? And I can't sit. He falls off the bike. Immediately, he gets up and he starts dancing. He's like, yeah, I did it. Like, joy. He fell, joy. Because he tried. He did something. He may not have had a perfect bike ride, but he tried. So you fall, joy. Because you will grow. You will grow and you will be refined. And that is the process. Like, that is life. That is being a believer, is this process of walking it out by faith. That he's with us, that he doesn't forsake us, and that, Lord, you've given us this vision. I'm going to go for it. The path is going to be messy. I'm going to fail, but I'm going to get back up. I'm going to dance and I'm going to say, you're with me, and we're going to go. We're going to keep moving forward. I will not stop. I will not stop because my hope is in the promise that you have said. If you said it, I believe it. And if you said it, it will be done. But he's not just gonna do it, guys. We can't think of ourselves sitting in a seat. God's going to do it. Stephen. Oh,
there's no more coffee. Oh, man.
Can have a sip of mine, but I don't think you'll want it. Stephen had a thought the other day where he. Oh, coffee? Oh.
Thanks, buddy.
You can't win the lottery if you don't play. You can't just hope that something's going to happen. Okay, God, you've given this vision. You've told us this is going to happen. You've told us we're going to have children. We're not going to have sex for 10 years. That you have to do something. Okay, we know how babies are created, right? Okay, so yes, there was one person that was not conceived that way, and he is God. Oh, and Adam, yes.
The first.
Yes, Adam, Eve, and Jesus. But good on everybody else, right? We were all conceived in the same way. So there, you got to get in the game. You can't sit idly by and just, God's going to do it. There's a phrase that I know that we've said over and over again, if God doesn't dance with mannequins, we are not mannequins. We are human beings, vessels of his Holy Spirit, temples of the Most High God, and he wants to partner with me. He wants to use me. I am so imperfect and flawed and broken, but he wants to use me.
You're way better than a mannequin.
Thank you. Tell that story about Egypt.
A friend of mine has a ministry down in Fredericksburg, and he sends out missionaries all the time. And he had this one young, zealous, you know, person, you know, just born in the Spirit and ready to go do the work, spread the gospel, and he's going to Egypt. He's like, I'm quitting my job. I'm going for it. God's going to take care of it. And David's like, well, have you learned the language yet? The guy's like, no. I mean, God will take care of it. I'll just figure it out when I get there. Well, okay. I mean, you quit your job. You're saving up for, you know, that plane ticket and that rent or whatever you didn't know. God will take care of it, right? It's like there's God has the vision. God has given you the vision. What are you doing to prepare yourself for it? I think the lesson there is preparation. There is a vision. When we have a clear, specific vision, we have a pathway. Regardless of which path you take, you're still going to reach that destination as long as you're preparing and following the footsteps, as long as the confirmation of the word, every step you take, you'll get to your destination.
It's confirmed by the word.
It's confirmed by the word of God.
Yeah. So at New Covenant, here as a church, it's kind of transition to talk about hope for us, right? So as we were talking yesterday, we started making a list of what have we as a congregation been told. And there's a few things that are very specific that we've heard over and over and over again. And one, God's not done. We've heard that, right? Another is that he's doing a new thing. We've heard that for 8 years now. 2014 is when my dad received that word from the Lord. We've also heard we're waiting. We heard that just a few weeks ago when the pastors were all, and it was during the question and answer time, and Stephen asked, well, what are we doing? And Patty answered, we're waiting. And then another thing is that a move of God is coming, that God is going to move. That is also something that has been said, that has been proclaimed. And as we started talking about this, it ties into all that we've been talking about with vision, and without vision, the people perish, and hope deferred makes the heart sick. That there's when you're waiting, you have to know what you're waiting for. Because if you don't know what you're waiting for, then there's no vision. And so your heart will get sick because there's nothing to hope in. Whatever it is, you can just wait, but you'll fizzle out, right? Waiting is active, but you have to know what you're waiting for. You are always waiting for something. So actually, I was driving home yesterday and we had been talking about this question, and I was like, what are we waiting for? And Stephen and I can talk around the horn all the time. Like, well, we could be waiting for this. We're waiting for that. We're waiting for this. And Holy Spirit was like, call the person who said it. So I just called Don and Patty. Like, you're the one who said this. What are we waiting for? If you are the one that's heard, and if this is what we've heard of we're waiting, what's the answer? For what? So we ended up talking, and it was really good. And what Patty said was that we are waiting for a move of God. But that there will be a specific event that will cause an influx of people into the churches that need hope. She has seen an event in the future. And when Patty told me, we're waiting on a move of God, honestly, my response was like, what does that mean? Like, give me details. I want to, like, you know, and again, that goes back to vision. Like, we have to have something specific that we're looking for, because if you don't have something specific, you can't plan. You can't move forward and take the steps towards that vision, right? So I asked her, do you want to share anything right now or no? You can.
Thank you, Lord. Well, the Lord's been talking to me since probably around 2008 about the events that are taking place in the world. And I have been recording quite a few of them. And Don and I were talking about it last night, that if you just look at what is going on, you could make a checklist of all the things in Scripture that have to happen before he comes. And the Lord has shown me that there is going to be an event that will shake the world. That it'll be like 9/11, only bigger. And it won't just be America. It will be every country in the world. And it's going to terrify everyone. I've hesitated to really go into detail because it's scary. People will die. But for some reason, it takes mankind that kind of shock to turn to the one who created them, because they have nowhere else to turn. This will be, like Butch has always talked about, a mass move of the Holy Spirit to bring the Lord's flock in. And that's what we're for. I have seen the things that God has done with this church. I learned a little bit more about the history of it lately. And I believe that everything that has happened in the history of this church was for a reason, and that nothing was in vain. God will use everything. Recently, he gave us anointings, and I've seen many cases, and I'm sure other things have happened that I haven't heard about with the people in the congregation, where God has moved in those anointings. And it's all preparation for this time, which we are very, very close to. My soul weeps for the things I see. When I first heard the Lord speaking to me, he opened up the word to me. He told me that I was a revelation prophet for the end times, and I had no idea what that was. He told me I would give prophecies like other prophets, but that was not what I was for. And then he moved us up in, he told me, actually, when we first moved down here, I met a prophet who said God was making me a garden. And that he was going to come and live with me there. And that he would bring people in the garden and I would share with them the fruits that he was going to give me. In 2006, he gave us Oak Haven. And then he opened up Revelation to me to line it up with current events. I'd never seen anything like that before. So I know that what I'm telling you, you talk about belief and not knowing until it happens, but there is a knower in you. Yeah. Where something hits you and rings true and you know, mm-hmm. Okay, I don't see that, but I know that that was God and I know it's going to happen. I know this will happen. This event is coming. Everything's going to fall into place. We are prepared. But that doesn't mean you don't do anything. You go out and practice the gifts he's given you. Hone your skills in the Spirit. Because using it day by day is different than what you're going to use it for when the influx of souls come in. Mm-hmm. But we are a loving church, we are a giving church, and we're going to love these people into the kingdom. And you're going to be so busy, you're going to wish you had time to sit and wait. But there won't be time. We are that close to his coming back. We are very close.
I mean, let's be honest. If 1,000 people showed up at the door tomorrow, or this morning, what would we do? I mean, we got to think about things like that.
But practically. Having even, yes, absolutely. Practice the gifts and stir up the gifts that are within you so that spiritually we are ready. But we also, I have a strong stirring within myself of practically. That's where my mind goes is what are we doing practically? And I'm sure that we are, there's comments, but that, what would we do with the nursery? What would we do? All of those questions that come and that we can then put our plow to, because we have vision, right? Bob has a.
Okay. Confirm it.
I don't usually do this, but this was quite a while ago, and it's something that I shared with your dad. That door opened, and there was a brilliant light outside, and people poured into New Covenant. I mean, they were just pouring into New Covenant. And whether you can sense it or not, the Holy Spirit is in it. But we are exactly, we're preparing for that. Now, do I hope? Yes. Do I believe it's going to happen? Yes, I do, right? And it's just like, to me, this is a confirming word to what Patty said. And it is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, first, yeah, I mean, I've had multiple dreams of being in this facility, even whereas there's been stadium seats set up where it was full and the worship team was full and just there's, yeah.
So on a practical side of this, years ago, I went on a 40-day fast and prayed over New Covenant. Mm-hmm. We changed the way we did finances out of that fast. Mm-hmm. We got into the black. And even when some of our pastors wanted to negotiate with the landlord, I pushed back and I said, God told us not to do that. And we didn't. Mm-hmm. And it flipped it. And we've been in the black ever since. And I've said that, and I've heard people say, I thought New Covenant was in trouble financially. We're not. We're not in trouble, wherever we go. So for about the last 2 or 3 years, I've been saying, okay, why do we have this crap in our children's room? All these computers, never been used. Let's get that stuff out of there. Mm-hmm. We need a nursery. We got kids now.
Prepare.
Yeah, and I started pushing. Let's get a nursery. We have a nursery. Mm-hmm. Let's get our toddlers ready. We have that room. It's empty.
Yeah, that's good.
We've got the other room. It's empty. This week, and the pastors can tell you, I've been saying, okay, now we need to find a youth pastor. We need to pray into this. Mm. We need to find somebody that is called to lead our children, whether it's the nursery, whether it's the toddlers, whether it's children's church. That's active waiting. Mm-hmm. That's getting prepared. But we don't have any youth right now. You have to prepare. Mm-hmm. Now, I keep saying this stuff till I'm blue in the face. But I'm telling you, I don't think it's coming. It's already here. You guys just don't know it. You haven't been to the places I've been to. Some of you have. And you've seen it. I brought Michael Shaw in here. I gave up my week to preach. I came back from Tampa fired up. And the Lord says, give up your week for Michael Shaw to come in and preach. The time before that I was supposed to preach, brought in Brian Francis Hume. So give up your week to preach. I keep giving up my opportunities to preach, but I believe God's preparing something, and we're going to do this on the first week of January, this prophetic conference, and Beck is actually going to be the coordinator. It's going to be Brian Francis Hume, some people from the Prayer Furnace, some other people, and we're going to do a regional prophetic conference here at New Covenant. That is active waiting. That's hearing the voice of the Lord and knowing what's coming and preparing. They're not just going to pour in the door. You can see them pouring in the door, but there's something that happens that you hear the voice of the Lord and you begin to build an ark. It might take 120 years for some people, but we're in the now time. We're in a time where God's moving now. We've got to prepare. And I jokingly said, we're going to need a bigger boat. By the time this is over, we're going to need a bigger boat. And I'm believing that someone whose church died because they're not preaching the gospel is going to say, hey, we got this building. It's paid for. New Covenant, why don't you have it? And that's what I'm praying for, that we have to sublet this place because the boat's too small. I mean, would that be okay?
Amen. Anybody else?
I think the last piece of this that we just want to touch on, because it's something that I believe the Lord is still actively working out in both of us and revealing to both of us. And so we're not going to go super deep into it, but it is definitely burning on our hearts, is that what is our ultimate hope? Like, the end goal, and the end goal of it all, of this life, is the wedding day. Is the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, will receive the reward of his suffering, which is a bride, his church, who has made herself ready. Revelation 19. Verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's what it's all about, guys. We are going to marry Jesus. It's all about the wedding. For those who have been brides or who have ever known a bride, you know, for me, as soon as that wedding date was set, everything was about that date. A countdown begins, a vision of what that day will be, and literally every part of my life goes through a filter of that wedding day. That is how we are called to live our life now. As the bride of Christ, making herself ready for her groom. Because Jesus is, he's ready for us. Did you want to read that?
If you didn't know, Rebecca and I are actually sitting at our wedding table. This is where we ate dinner together. This is from Dana Candler from IHOP. She's not very well known, but she gave a remarkable message on the wedding, and it's just been burned within us. It gave us hope. It gave us joy and peace. I'm just going to read an excerpt from this, and then we can close. Mm-hmm. I guess that'd be good. It says, the title is Living for the Wedding, and Making Ready and Living in Light of the Wedding Day. I believe the Lord has his hand on the heart of his church as he is in the process of shaking us awake with his love, his jealousy, and to bring us into our full destiny before his return. We are in transition from a church in complacent lukewarmness to a bride in wholehearted and mature love, a bride that makes herself ready. Transition is painful. It's unsettling. It removes neutrality. But zealously, he invites us into fierce and full responsiveness to himself, our bridegroom. He compels us to take the truths and messages meant to produce and release fervent wholeheartedness and yoke our lives to them, walking out and embodying them in our everyday lifestyles, meaning our time, our money, our decisions, our appetites, our words and actions, that we might become the church in splendor that he is passionate to bring forth. He's passionate. He is zealous. He so desires to bring us forth in his glorious inheritance. We are his inheritance. He gets us because he has made us worthy. Amen.
Can we pray over you guys? Let's all stand. God, I thank you right now for dismantling any hopelessness in any of us. Lord Jesus, stir up hope. Teach us how to hope again. As we learn to walk again, as we learn to be joyful in trials of many kinds, Lord, perfect us as we submit our lives to you. Jesus, I pray for this church, for New Covenant Fellowship, and every member and every person in this room right now. Lord, that there would be a bubbling up of hope. That you would begin to give clear vision to each and every one of us for our individual lives and also for this church. God, that you would bring all of the specifics of the vision for New Covenant into focus. That you would show us, that you would walk with us, that you would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as we walk in faith, believing that you will do what you said you're going to do. Lord God, we desire to partner with you. I don't want to be a mannequin, God. I want to dance with you. Lord, I want to see this church dancing with you, our bridegroom king. Stir up that first love fire again in our hearts, that we may return to our first love. You, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would seal this word, that whatever you have spoken to each heart within this place, that you would seal it. If there was anything that was said that's not of you, erase it. We love you. We hope in you, Lord God. And we look forward to a life in partnership with you. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Be blessed as you go.